Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. And I am so glad you tuned in, especially if you're feeling worn in the battle, just weary and well-doing. You know, life has a way of lifing us, a friend once said to me, and it's just true. Sometimes you just feel beat up by life, exhausted from the steady state of things. And if you're feeling that way, boy, you tuned in on the right day at the right hour. Pastor Robert Morgan joins me. He's a gazillion. He sold like a gazillion copies of books, author and a pastor, wonderful man of God. He's got a brand new book. Would you believe it doesn't even release for a couple more weeks, but we've got extra copies ahead of time here. Title of his book is The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. I love this book. I felt my own strength returning as I prepped for today's show. So I'm super excited for you to hear Pastor Rob talk about these verses and unpack them for us. Got a couple of quick announcements for you today. I will tell you, this is sort of a big day for me. It's the release of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with Bold, Humble Faith. John Eldridge wrote the foreword for me, and I'm super excited about it. You know, up to date, this feels for me like the most important book I've written. It just does. It's just very near to my heart because, as my mentor always says, she goes, you've got an upfront ministry with a behind-the-scenes heart. That's just true. I just love my secret place with the Lord. I thrive in solitude, and I do have a very active prayer life, and pouring that all out in the printed page was just a great honor. So it's called Your Powerful Prayers. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll find info there. Otherwise, just search. You'll find it online on stores and Barnes & Noble those as well. So also just want to tell you that we're only 2 days into our Live Free Challenge. We are hoping and praying to raise $50,000 to help put an end to human trafficking. That money will go to International Justice Mission. Whenever we cover slavery, trafficking on the show, I repeatedly hear from you, what can I do? Well, we've created something that you can do. We're asking you to use your best energies for the world's greatest needs. All you got to do is log your miles, whether it's walking, biking, running, this month of August, and raise money. So ask people to make pledges for the number of miles that you are pledging to do. We've made it very easy. Go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Within 4 or 5 minutes, you'll have your own fundraising page built. You sign up for free. And we are hoping and praying, as I said, to raise $50,000. So hope you'll do that and join us on this Live Free Challenge. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Pastor Robert Morgan is the pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship. I've said it before. I visited that church. Love it. It's in Nashville, Tennessee, where he served for 33 years. He's a best-selling gold medallion winning writer with over 25 books with over 3.5 million in print circulation. Isn't that amazing? He and his wife, Katrina, have 3 daughters and 12 grandkids. He's also co-owner of Roan Mountain Bed and Breakfast in Tennessee. Pastor Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm so glad to be with you, but I feel like that I should be interviewing you about your new book. Congratulations.
Thank you. As you know,
this is a big, release date is a big deal. I'm so happy to hear about this. I can't wait to get a copy and read it.
Thank you so much. It is like giving birth. I mean, it really is. So thank you so much. So, Pastor, wondering if there's a verse that you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Oh, yes. And it actually comes out of my book, The Strength You Need, the 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. The first of those 12 is one that I think about, I guess, every single day. And it says, your strength will equal your days. And that's a promise, Deuteronomy 33:25, your strength will equal your days. which means, I think, that we will never have a task assigned to us by the Lord, or a day given to us by Him, or a burden that He's allowed us to bear, for which He will not give us the strength we need for that particular day or task or burden. Every day has its own needs, but the strength of the Lord is replenished in one day increments. And so I very often just say, Lord, I don't need yesterday's strength or tomorrow's strength, but I need strength for today, and you have promised me your strength will equal your days.
Boy, such a good word. You know, Pastor Rob, so often you hear people say, God won't give you more than you can handle. And when you're the suffering person, that's just not helpful. I just have to say, when I've walked through my own health challenges and someone says that, because it's like, you know, this is more than I can handle. Or you can't really say that to someone who's lost a child, or like you, you care for a disabled wife. When the emphasis is on what we can handle. But this idea that, you know, even Paul said we were crushed almost beyond what we could bear. But God, I mean, paint a picture if you would for us, because I know, I mean, some mean that as an encouragement. But it has, these kinds of things are more than we can handle apart from God. But with Him, we can do all things.
Well, every one of us have burdens every single day.
Yeah.
And sometimes those burdens can be so deep and so perplexing to us. And I know what it is to worry, and sometimes I battle anxiety, and to be so devastated by something that happens, or to be fearful of something that might happen, can just be crippling. And there may be people listening right now who just feel like they are drowning, they are being overwhelmed. But my wife and I have found 12 Bible verses that have helped us so much. We don't think that we can bear these things on our own. My wife is disabled, and we both have so much on us sometimes, but we have found the strength we need by discovering and learning and claiming these 12 Bible verses on the subject of strength in the Bible. So when we can't handle life, we have to depend on one who can and draw strength from Him for every need.
Boy, so good. Here's an excerpt. As long as you live, God will keep His promise to impart sufficient strength for the work He assigns and the burdens He allows. Tap into His endless current of divine energy. And I was thinking, you know, we've just come through, people who listen often enough know that we've come through a significant series of storms in our family. And I got to say, Pastor Rob, looking back, I clearly see God's provision was there. But I also see, looking back, at times I opted to worry instead of to lay hold of those things. I want you to just speak to that, if you would, because His provision is there, but sometimes we miss it because, well, because I worry. What do you say?
Yes, I think that the biggest habit that I've found in my life to help me through those times is going to the Bible and finding those promises or those verses that I need for every particular occasion. And we all go through just terrible things. I mean, life is a battle. But there is never a burden that we'll ever face without a Bible verse that God will give us to go through it. And in some of the darkest valleys, I have found verses of Scripture that have sustained me. You know, the Bible says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. He is with us. His rod and His staff comfort us. And to be able to reach over to your Bible, you know, my conviction, Susie, is that God has given to us a book that is small enough to hold in our hands, big enough to study all of our lives, and satisfying enough to meet our needs forever. And what I've done with this book, The Strength You Need, my wife and I found 12 Bible verses, and we have just drilled into those verses like an oilman drilling for petroleum in Texas. And I will tell you, God's Word gives us the strength we need when we don't have it on our own.
Indeed. We tether ourselves to those promises and to God's faithfulness, and we will not be moved. So 12 strategies, 12 great verses from Scripture. Strategy one, we touched on it, connect to a high voltage line in the passages, your strength will be equal to your days. Okay, so strategy two, turn messes into momentum. And you reference 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So talk about this, turning messes into momentum, from that passage of Scripture.
Well, this comes out of the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 of King Asa. And what I've done with each one of these 12 Bible verses is to give the teaching all around these verses, to provide the meaning of this within the context. You know, I'm primarily a Bible teacher. That's about all that I know how to do. And so when I take a verse, I just don't want to pull it out of thin air. It is anchored into wonderful stories and into a great context in the Bible. And here was a man, King Asa, who had served the Lord faithfully for many, many years. But then we sort of fast forward in the account to the end of his life, and he is no longer serving the Lord. Somehow he had allowed his spiritual progress to slow down and actually to go backwards until he just became reprobate in his old age. I don't know how to explain it, but the Lord sent a prophet to him and said, if only you would commit yourself again fully to the Lord, because the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, and you would not do it. And so I tell the story of Asa, and I just remind us that we have got to find and use every significant occasion in life, whether it's a book coming out or a baby being born or a new month or year passing on the calendar, but every significant occasion in life to rededicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and to make sure that we are staying close to him. Because just think about the vividness of this verse. The eyes of the Lord are scanning the globe right now, looking for that man or that woman or that young person whose hearts are fully committed to him, and he will come to them with strength that will help them turn their messes into momentum. Mm.
Just love what you just said, too, about using every significant occasion, whether that's a big thing like a baby being born, a job change, or something like the month turning over, the week turning over. I mean, every morning, Pastor Rob, I get out of bed and I slip to my knees and I open my hands, just because Scripture says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And the idea that if we would acknowledge the gift of the day, that's a first step in wisdom as far as honoring and fearing God going. First of all, I'm going to see this day as a gift. That opens my heart to just wisdom to steward it the way that he would want me to. And he's right there when we look up to him, isn't he?
Well, yes, I've written a book about that very thing. It's called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late. Mm. And my thesis is that success is doing the will of God in one day increments with the right attitudes.
Wow.
And I believe the Lord assigns our work day by day. Psalm 139 and verse 16 in the Living Bible says, you saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. So every day when we wake up, it's a fresh opportunity to give ourselves and to give the day to the Lord. And as we are fully committed to him, his strength becomes fully available to us.
Talking to Pastor Robert Morgan today, multi-best-selling author and pastor. Title of his brand new book, which isn't even out yet. It comes out on the 16th, but we've got three copies. Title is The Strength You Need, the 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. He says when we're spiritually anemic, we're weak in every other way. But when we're strong in spirit, we tap into the omnipotence of our Almighty God and daily strength for daily needs. We'll more with Pastor Robert Morgan when we return. But if you want in on the drawing, do email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your name, your mailing address, and mention strength in the email so I know this is the book that you want. Back in a moment. Just love God's word. I mean, Scripture says he's the strength of our heart, our portion forever. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing what Jesus has purchased for us? And we have the promise of his Holy Spirit in us and the promises to tether our lives to. What a blessing. Well, I'm so glad you tuned in. I could go on for like an hour. Really. I'm Susie Larson talking to Pastor Robert J. Morgan. He's a best-selling author and pastor in Tennessee. Title of his brand new book. It's not even out yet. We're honored to talk with him today. The Strength You Need, the 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. Love to get a copy into your hands. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. address and mention strength in the email, you'll get in a drawing here. But we've been talking about these 12 strategies. They're 12 great strength passages. Strategy one, connect to a high voltage line, because scripture says our strength will equal our days. Strategy two, turn our messes into momentum, because God is looking throughout the earth to strengthen those of us whose hearts are turned towards him. Okay, Pastor Rob, strategy three, love this, invest in a power company. And you referenced the verse Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say more.
Isn't that a wonderful verse?
So good.
And it's given in the middle of the book of Nehemiah, which tells the story of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And it's given in the middle of chapter 8, which is the story of a great Bible conference that the wall builders had after the wall had been built. And they all came together, and Ezra read to them from the scripture, and they began to weep. And Ezra and Nehemiah and the others said, "Do not weep. This is a day for rejoicing, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I picture that particular verse as having a little electrical generator inside of us. If we could take a spiritual x-ray, there is a little generator inside of our hearts, and it's generating energy and strength to bear up for every day, to seize every day with enthusiasm, to persevere, to keep on going. And that little generator has three letters stamped on its side, J-O-Y. So if we can choose and cultivate the joy of the Lord, there is something about that joy that generates energy and strength and power for us to tackle every day. That's what the verse says. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so one of the things we need to do is to learn to cultivate exuberance and joy that is biblically based and Christ-centered in our lives, and to choose to do it every single day.
And I'd love for you to even explain practically how you do that in the midst of the demands on your life. But first, I got to read this excerpt from your books. I thought it was fantastic, and I think someone may need to hear this today. You wrote, "Discouragement short circuits our vibrancy, making even small tasks seem impossible. I sometimes like to remind myself that all discouragement is from the devil. All encouragement is from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is what gives us strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength." Boy, I think sometimes, Pastor Rob, we live with a measure of discouragement, and we don't stop and deal with it, but it's just sucking the life out of us as it travels along with us. So talk about how you've dealt with on those days where you're just faced with tangible discouragement, how you work that out so you get back into that place of joy.
Well, you know, Susie, it sounds simplistic, but sometimes I just have to choose to be joyful, even if I don't feel that way. I remember some time ago coming back from a plane trip, and I was exhausted and coming back to a set of problems, and I was very discouraged about it and really didn't want to get off the plane. But as I read my Bible on the plane, I came across some verses about joy. And it's as though the Lord said to me, "Now, if you get off that plane and you go back to work and you just decide you're going to be joyful, then everything's going to work out all right. But if you slink off that plane and you're down in the mouth and down in the dumps and discouraged, then things are going to get worse." And I decided I was going to get off that plane and go get in my car, and I was going to smile and have joy in my heart, whether I felt like it or not. And I just made a choice to have joy by faith, because after all, it says rejoice in the Lord, and that's a commandment.
Yeah.
And the thing you have to do with commandments is to choose to obey them. And you know that when I choose to be joyful and I just say, "Well, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice," that somehow the emotions catch up with that decision.
Boy, and emotions make a horrible dictator. I mean, as you're telling that story, Pastor Rob, I'm thinking of Corrie Ten Boom, and she's preaching on the kindness and the forgiveness of God, and in walks one of the soldiers who so violently abused she and her sister had passed in the Auschwitz prison camp. And he said, "You know, so glad to hear about this forgiveness. Does that apply to me?" And she didn't want it to apply to him, but she obeyed God and reached out her hand to shake his hand. And she did that first, and she said the emotion came second. She said she felt forgiveness just surge out of her arm. But there's times where that's, I think, maybe what a sacrifice of praise looks like, where it seems to cost us initially, but we are the benefactors ultimately, aren't we?
Yes, we just can't stay down in a place of depression. And I've battled, most of us have at least battled low-grade depression from time to time, and it can just pull you under. And sometimes you just have to stand up on your feet and quote Scripture and say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." It's not always found in the circumstances. It's not always found in the way that we may feel physically or what may be happening in our lives. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there is just something very powerful about that verse. And in this book, The Strength You Need, I tell the whole story of how Nehemiah and Ezra and the people of Jerusalem in that day began to experience that for themselves, and the exuberance that came over them as they decided they weren't going to mourn anymore. They were going to choose to be joyful, and that gave them strength.
You know, it just really is a gritty choice, because we all have legitimate reasons to fear, to worry, to be grumpy, as far as, you know, life on earth is hard. But in the face of that, to look up and choose joy, it's a pure act of faith. But there is strength in it, enjoying in the Lord. So amazing. Okay, we've got about 3.5 minutes to our bottom of the hour break, but I think we've got time to cover this one, the strategy for occupy a fortress. And you reference Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength. I love this. An ever-present help in trouble. Say more.
Oh, this is such a powerful psalm. It was the basis for Martin Luther writing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I'll just say this about that first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means that he is our refuge on the outside, our strength on the inside, and our help on the downside of life. And if people could just memorize that one verse. Now, I've worked hard to memorize the entire psalm. It's not that long, and I would encourage everybody to memorize it, but just that one verse. And it doesn't just say that the Lord is our help. It says he is our present help. And he's not just our present help. He is our very present help. And he's not just our very present help. He is our very present help in trouble. So if anybody listening out there is in trouble right now, well, congratulations, you qualify. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Say that one again, if you would. He's our refuge on the outside.
Yes, and our strength on the inside, and our help on the downside of life. All of that just in that verse 1, that very simple verse. This helped me so much. Once in a crisis, I was just absolutely fearful about something that was going to happen, a wreck that I'd heard about with my daughter. I was racing to the scene. And if it hadn't been for this verse coming to my mind, I might have just lost my mind. But you never know when just knowing that one verse, the Holy Spirit will use it. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble.
And you're right. A lot of things can shake our lives. This planet isn't a secure place, but our immutable God, our Jesus, he's the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got just about a minute before this break, but how often do you catch yourself rehearsing that truth? I mean, I think we forget that truth, that he's not shakable, because we behold too much of the news at times where the point we feel like everything's shaking. We forget that there's some things that aren't shaking.
Well, you know, Susie, a lot of times I'll wake up in the middle of the night worried about something, and I will just force my mind to go to this verse, or maybe to some of the others that I depend on, but very often it's this one. And there is something about quoting scripture in the middle of the night that causes those worries to run away, just like bugs do when the light comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage people to take this verse seriously, to claim it for themselves today.
Indeed. Talking to Pastor Robert J. Morgan today, author of the book, which comes out in a couple of weeks, The Strength You Need, the 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. We're working our way through these. Man, I just know you need strength today, because we all do. We are in quite a day, aren't we? Love to get your name in on the draw. I've got 3 copies ahead of time. How neat for you. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name and your mailing address in the body of the email. Put the word strength somewhere so I know this is the one that you want to be in the drawing for, okay? And don't go away. More great conversation up ahead with Pastor Robert Morgan. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Pastor Robert Morgan, author of many books. He's a pastor of a great church in Tennessee. This particular book comes out August 16th. Super glad to have it ahead of time here. Titled, The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. I was telling Pastor Rob before the show that I actually just had time with the Lord in my office as I was prepping, going through this book. And it just, the Word of God is living and active and powerful. As you ponder the Word, it strengthens your soul. And as he had said in the book, that so often when life tips us upside down, we go to so many other sources to try to find our footing, but our footing is found in Jesus, and his promises are what steady us. So we are walking through 12 great strength passages from Scripture that he has just studied in depth. So this next strategy, number 5, you say, stand sequoia-like above the noise, and the passage you reference is Isaiah 30:15. In quietness and trust is your strength. Say more.
Well, we need quietness today because we are surrounded by noise.
Indeed.
And noise dilutes our strength, and too much confusion and the cacophony of all of the life around us can just absolutely drain us. And there needs to be those times, like you were saying, when we can begin the day quietly. And there is something about quietness and confidence that gives our strength. Now, this particular verse, Isaiah 30 and verse 15, has a very interesting story behind it. This is when a Judean king was facing an invasion, and he sent envoys to Egypt to make a deal for mercenary soldiers that he never should have made. And Isaiah watched this delegation leave Jerusalem to go down to Egypt. And he said, you need to call that delegation back. You don't need to be looking to Egypt or to any other source for your protection or for your strength. You need to be looking to the Lord. And he said, it is in returning and in rest that you will find deliverance, and in quietness and confidence is your strength. And somehow, Susie, I think that if we had that phrase over our beds or on our refrigerators or on the dashboards of our cars, and it just said, in quietness and confidence is your strength, it would remind us to more often be still and remember that he is God.
Boy, such a good word, and I got to read this from the book. You're right, we encounter problems every day, and sometimes we feel threatened by circumstances or people who cause us anguish. Sometimes our income isn't sufficient. Sometimes our dreams or schemes don't work. Sometimes our efforts result in apparent failure. Sometimes we battle addictive tendencies. Sometimes we feel exhausted and not in the best of spirits. Sometimes we battle depression. Sometimes our health or our wealth crumbles, and we're prone to seek answers everywhere but from the Lord. And I'm wondering if, Pastor Rob, if you'd speak to that person listening today for whom this statement is absolutely true. Their life's fallen apart, and they've looked everywhere for consolation but the Lord. As they're listening to you today, they're hearing the whisper of the Lord to come back in quietness and confidence. Any word of encouragement you'd have for them today?
Well, yes. You know, there are times when a good friend can help us, or a good counselor, or maybe a good lawyer, or a good specialist in some area can help us in an area of need. But at the very heart of everything, the real strength we need comes from the wonderful counselor, the one who is our closest friend, the one who sticks closer to us than a brother, the one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And there is a God, and the Bible is true. And Jesus did rise from the dead. And the resources of heaven are available for that person who will be quiet and be still and in faith receive what the Lord is offering. There was a man who once said this, and I remember it very well. He said, all that God is available to the person who is available to all that God is. And so I think there comes a time when we're grateful when there are some external supports around us. But our real secret to being resilient and to persevering through and coming out on the other side is the friend who sticks closer than a brother, who is our risen Lord Jesus.
Oh, so good. Okay, we're on promise number 6. Strategy number 6, you say, catch updrafts like an eagle. I want to say that again. Catch updrafts like an eagle. Love that. You reference Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Fantastic. Say more.
Well, this is one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible.
Yeah.
And Isaiah said that those who wait upon or who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And what I explain in the book, Susie, is that all across this globe, we can't see it with our natural eyes, but there are invisible elevators. They're called thermals. They are columns of hot air that just lift up from the ground and go upward. They help control our weather patterns. And eagles know how to find those thermals, and all they do is stretch out their wings, and this column of air lifts them up higher and higher, and they go up to whatever floor they want to get off on, and they exit there, and with their spread wings, they just soar downwards until finally they find another thermal, and they go up again. And this is the Bible's natural and physical description of what faith is like. Faith is when we just stretch out our wings and we're waiting to wait and to hope and to trust in the Lord, and we have the updraft of the promises of God beneath our wings, and they just lift us up. And I'll tell you, you know this is true too, and a lot of the people listening to us know that this is true. There are some times when, if it were not for specific promises that God has given to us in the Bible, we would just close our eyes and say, all is lost. But at a very difficult time, we can find a promise. Maybe in Hebrews chapter 13, he will never leave you or forsake you. Maybe in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But whatever it is, we find that promise and we stretch out our wings, and there is something about the power of that promise that lifts us up. And I think that's a description of faith. That's what Isaiah is talking about when he says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Boy, how good of God to give us so many of these visuals in the natural realm so that we understand spiritual concepts. And love to know, Pastor Rob, from your own life, a time when you caught the updraft of God, when you were weary and well-doing, maybe just worn out from the battle, and you waited on the Lord and you found some new strength.
Oh, yes. Well, I remember some years ago I was terribly discouraged with my work and with the progress of our church. And I would go to bed at night and just felt like the devil was standing there with a knife labeled failure, and he was just slashing at me again and again. I felt like a real failure. And then I found 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And, you know, I memorized that verse, and I'll have to say that was like an updraft. It just lifted me up. The Lord was giving me a promise that whether or not I saw results or success, whether I saw it immediately or in the next day or two or the next week or two or the next year or two, he was promising me that my work for him, my labor in the Lord, was not in vain. And, you know, that promise has pulled me through or lifted me up over many a dark valley. Susie, and the Bible is full of promises that do that for us at just the times when we need them.
Seems harder to reference those if you're not in the Word. I mean, you're a man who's been so immersed in the Word, the Holy Spirit can bring a verse to you. But in a day when so few are really immersing themselves in Scripture, I mean, the Spirit can give you nudges and impressions, but boy, how quickly you can access a promise and be tethered to it when it's already in your soul and in your heart, you know?
Oh, yes. I have a book called 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. And I'm a great advocate of Scripture memory. You know, we don't memorize the Bible anymore because we have it, you know, on our iPhones or our smartphones, and we think we have such instant access to it. But every one of us should be working a little bit every day on memorizing a Bible verse. I'm working right now on Ephesians chapter 6, not the whole chapter, but a paragraph within that chapter, and I just work on it every morning for a while. But to be able to have God's Word, including these 12 verses from my book, The Strength You Need, sort of embedded in our brain, allows it to work on us not only on a conscious but on a subconscious and even an unconscious level. And then just at the time we need it, we can quote it, and the Holy Spirit will bring it to our minds.
Well, we may have to see if we can bring you back to talk about that book. But in the meantime, do you have any practical tips for Bible memorization, since it's such an important thing to do?
Yes, I use my phone. I downloaded a recorder on my phone. It's a little app. There's a lot of them. So that I can record myself, or I can record anybody talking to me. It's like a tape recorder. So every morning I have my passage there, and I close my eyes and quote it into my phone. And then I replay it to see what I've missed. And I have found that has helped me. It's like having another person coaching you, you know. And I'll do that three or four times, maybe five times every morning. Right now, like I said, I'm working in Ephesians 6. And so I will try quoting that paragraph, and I'll listen back to see what I missed, and then I'll try it again. And that has really been just a little simple help that has really accelerated my ability to memorize Scripture.
Well, you should record some encouragement for yourself. Way to go, Rob. You're so smart. I suppose if anybody saw us doing that, they would think we're strange, but sometimes you need a little encouragement. You know, and I don't even know if you have a comment on this. My boys are grown now, but I remember when I was talking to one of them in bed one night, and he said, Mama, he said, if the devil doesn't know the future, how does he know to attack you right before the breakthrough comes? And I'm like, well, that's a pretty deep question. And I started to think of, you know, I just said, I'm not even quite sure, but my sense is that he sees in the spiritual realm, and maybe he sees Calvary mounting on our behalf. You know, he sees these angelic warriors getting ready to help bring a breakthrough. And so he steps in because we don't see that. But from whatever reason, do you notice that when you're getting hit with discouragement, with anxiety, and you tether yourself to a passage, so often on the other side of that battle, not only are you richer for standing in battle, but you see something that you're so glad you prevailed in faith for?
Oh, yes. This is what the Bible, I've used the word persevere several times. And I think one of the reasons is I looked up this word, and it occurs like 50 times in the Bible. And it's at the very core of character. If we can develop perseverance, then we have really developed character. And perseverance is that, you know, it comes from the little word per, which means through, and the word severe. It's the idea of being able to go faithfully on, even though the circumstances are severe, you go through them because you're looking to Jesus and he's helping you and giving you the daily strength. And in one sense, we have to do this every single day in a lot of little ways. But then in another sense, sometimes we are really slammed by disasters or tragedies or prolonged difficulties in life. And that's where we really have to draw on these verses that the Bible gives us about strength, and we have to persevere through them. But the Bible teaches that all of our problems are temporary and all of our blessings are eternal.
And that's something to remember. All of our problems are temporary. All of the promises of God are eternal. Talking to Pastor Rob Morgan today. Title of his book, The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. Normal people have to wait till August 16th to get this book. Not that you're not normal, but you're special because you get to talk to Pastor today. We've got a few copies I'd love to get into your hands. Email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name, address in the subject line. Put strength somewhere in there so I know this is the book you want. And I got to say, let's see here. I think it was somebody, Michael, listening today said he just brushed off an old devotional from Pastor Morgan from his bookshelf just this morning. So he's so glad to be in the drawing for this one as well. More with Pastor Robert J. Morgan when we return. Stronger than any weakness, you are our fortress. He fights for us. He's the strength of our heart and the portion forever. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Pastor Robert J. Morgan, author of the book, The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. I said before that just prepping for this hour today just strengthened my own heart because you're just immersed in Scripture, and these strength passages remind you of what God has promised you. So we are on Strategy 7, Promise 7, Strengthen Someone Else. And Pastor Rob, you reference Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Say more.
Well, you know, this was a verse that I didn't expect to find. I looked up all of the references to strength in the Bible, my wife and I did, because she was battling some extreme weakness. And so this was one that took me by surprise. Isaiah chapter 58 is a chapter all about the importance of reaching the orphans and caring for the widows and feeding the hungry and providing water for the thirsty and clothing for the naked. It's one of the Bible's great humanitarian chapters. And, you know, Susie, I'd never realized that. I had read through Isaiah before, but somehow I'd never lingered on that chapter. And it's a very wonderful chapter about the difference that believers are supposed to make in the world. And it tells us all of these different ways we can do that. And then there are a set of promises for those who will help others and who will strengthen others. And this is one of those promises. The Lord will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. And I thought, how interesting that one of the ways to gain strength is by strengthening other people.
Boy, so good. Okay, strategy number 8, process your problems and arrive at praise. The verse is Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And you also find that in Psalm 18, I believe. Talk about that one, Pastor Rob.
Well, this is a wonderful book. The little book of Habakkuk is only 3 chapters, and not many people read it. It's one of the minor prophets and sort of obscure and hard to find in the Bible, but it tells a story of a man, Habakkuk, who was really struggling with issues because his culture was deteriorating around him. Now, I think we can relate to that. He was very distressed at the morality and at the weakness that was entering into his society, both financially and in terms of military and in terms of moral values, and he was trying his best to reverse it, and things were getting worse and worse, and he had a conversation with the Lord about it, and the Lord ended up saying to him at the very end of the book that he had to trust. He said, "Trust me, the just will live by faith, and that one day the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, and the Lord is in his holy temple, so let all the earth be silent." And the Lord gave to Habakkuk some wonderful promises, and at the very end of the book, Habakkuk said, "Well, my strength is in the Lord. Even if the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength." And it's a wonderful reminder that when everything else goes wrong, the Lord does not.
Indeed, indeed. I love this one. Strategy 9, strike a missing chord. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your strength.
You know, Susie, I looked up every reference in the Bible about the way that we should love God, and there are a lot of ways about how we are to love him, but the longest list were the promises that come to people who really love the Lord their God with all their strength. It says that if you love the Lord, he will show his love to us for 1,000 generations, that if we love him, he will send rain in its season, that if we love him, he would become our very life, that he would make us like the sun rising in its strength, that he would turn to us and have mercy on us, that he watches over those who love him, that he makes his home with those who love him. Romans 8:28 says that he works all things for the good of those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that he prepares things for us that are beyond what our eyes have seen or what our ears have heard if we love him. And James 1:12 says he bestows the crown of life on those who love him. You know, the great blessings of the Christian life just come from loving him, and even a child can do that.
Boy, so good. All right, strategy number 10, galvanize yourself against discouragement. Romans 4:20, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Such a powerful passage. Say more.
Well, Romans chapter 4 is the story of how Abraham exercised faith long before Paul wrote about it in the book of Romans. Paul said, Abraham is our great example of trusting the Lord. He believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And I think maybe my favorite definition of faith in the Bible is found in this chapter. It says that Abraham didn't waver through unbelief, but he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And to me, that is the best definition of faith in the Bible. It is being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. And so Abraham was strengthened in his faith. And the way this happens to us is that whenever we encounter a difficulty, then we have to find a promise in the Bible that counteracts that difficulty. And we keep our focus on that promise. We keep quoting it. We keep remembering it. We keep writing it down. We keep putting it where we can see it. And we allow the promise to have more weight in our thinking than the problem. We don't try to pretend the problem doesn't exist. You know, we are realists. We know we've got a problem here. But the promise is just as much a reality as the problem, and it is much more powerful. And so we become fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. And that is what the Bible calls being strengthened in our faith. And it makes all the difference to the way we go through life.
Boy, so good. Okay, strategy 11, live like the rich person you are.
Well, this is Ephesians 3:16. It's one of the great 3:16s of the Bible. And I had a lot of trouble with this chapter, Susie, because the text is so much bigger than I am. It was so grand. And this is the verse that says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And here, the promise of strength is put in the form of a prayer. And this is a prayer that we can pray if someone is listening and they're feeling very weak or overwhelmed. Then you can go to Ephesians 3:16. We can all remember that 3:16 designation and say, Lord, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you will strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being. And that's a prayer that the Lord will answer because it's embedded right there in his word in the middle of the book of Ephesians.
That's excellent. Strategy 12, learn to rejoice whatever, whenever, wherever. And the famous Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
Yes, and the verse literally says, I can do all things through the one who infuses me with strength. Mm. And the important thing about this verse, again, is its context. Paul was writing this to the Philippians. He was in prison. Everything seemed to be going wrong with him. The Philippians were very discouraged, and he was trying to encourage them. And he wrote this little four-chapter book of Philippians, and the theme of the book is joy. And he talks over and over again about joy, and he gets to the very end of the book, and he says, you know, you don't need to worry about me. I know what it's like to be free, and I know what it's like to be bound, and I know what it's like to be rich, and I know what it's like to be poor, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all this through the one who infuses me with strength. So the idea behind the verse is that our circumstances may not be what we would like for them to be, but the Lord has the ability to keep us strong and even content and even rejoicing in the middle of it all. He can do all of this, and we can do it through him who strengthens us.
Well, you know, Pastor Rob, I pray that this is your best-selling book yet, because as you look around, and I'm sure you responded to the nudge of the Spirit to do this, because the need is so great. I mean, I know you're working this out just in your own life and the way you're so transparent in the trenches of everything that you deal with. But don't you feel like we're in a day where, you know, things are being shaken so that which can't be shaken can be clearly seen? I mean, we really are in a day when people need to tether themselves afresh to the promises of God.
Oh, yes. I don't know what's going to happen to us all in terms of our politics or the condition of our world or our economy. Or the laws or the decisions of the judiciary. Right now, I think a lot of us are not very optimistic about the future. But the Lord is stronger than the future. The Lord reigns. I don't know what's going to happen in our political world or in our world today, but I know that Jesus will reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. And I have absolute confidence in his word. And every generation has faced bleak and discouraging times, and every Christian has faced crippling and terrible problems. But the Lord is faithful. His mercies are new every morning, and he gives us the strength we need. And this book, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible, I think will encourage a lot of people to tap into the strength that is available from heaven.
I have no doubt. Wondering, Pastor Rob, if you would pray for that person listening today who feels like that smoldering wick. Would you pray for that person today?
Our Heavenly Father, we pray in the very words of Scripture that out of your glorious riches you will strengthen us with power through your Spirit in the inner being. And for someone listening today who is particularly low, will you lift them up? Someone who is particularly weak, will you strengthen them? And as their days, so shall their strength be. We claim this promise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you once again for joining us, and I pray you'll come back another time.
Oh, thank you so much.
I always love talking to you. Pastor Robert Morgan, title of his book, The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. Hey, if you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your name and your mailing address, right? And put strength somewhere in the email so I know this is the book you're going for. We've got a few copies. Love to get one into your hands. And remember this, in just a bit, you're going to find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And when you get there, consider joining us in the Live Free Challenge. It's not that hard. It would be for an amazing cause. And then remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.